Amen. Thank you, Matt, for leading us in worship. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we open up the Word. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we praise you. We praise you that your Word says that the earth is your footstool. You are sovereign. Nothing takes you by surprise. Nothing in my life, nothing in Iowa, nothing in the United States, nothing in Israel, nothing in Egypt. You have a plan, and all of history is marching to the day when your sons and daughters are revealed. And on that day, all of creation will explode in praise because your plan has been fulfilled. So help us to rest in the truth that you are God. And our lives can be wild and crazy, and this world can be wild and crazy, but we are your children, and we can rest and trust in what you have for us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're in Philippians chapter 1 this morning. We're still making our way through this amazing letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian believers. And as I was getting ready for the sermon this week, I just want to kind of share with you all that this has been a really hard week. A good week, but a hard week. And I'm sure Pastor Greg would say this, there are just times when you're in God's Word personally, when you're in God's Word studying for the sermon, and you just kind of feel like you're in a heavyweight boxing match. It's like God is just and just showing you all these things about who he is, about his desires for you. And then you begin to see how I don't match up to that. But yet he wants me to grow in that, right? And so it's been a very good week. And it's also just been one of those weeks where, wow, you're just like, wow, God, you are so good when you reveal to us what you say in your Word. And so as I've been thinking about today, I've been in the book of Acts, and I've just been looking at what has been happening with these early believers when Jesus told them to go and be his witnesses. And then, of course, reading Philippians and seeing how Paul is doing that and just all the amazing things that we've been looking at and seeing in Paul's life that he's writing to these Philippian believers. And I began thinking about Paul's outlook, how he viewed life. And I began to think about me. And on the screen you see behind me, what do you see? A glass of water, right? And you've probably seen this illustration. You probably know where we're going to go next. Some people see this glass, and they see it one of two ways. Here's what we see. It's either half empty or half full. I've heard someone say a pessimist sees it half empty. An optimist. Thank you. An optimist sees it half full. An opportunist just walks up and drinks it, right? Okay, but just to let you know, I see that glass as half empty. I struggle with that. Man, I wish I didn't. But there are times in my life when it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's going to rain today. And maybe you're the kind of person who goes, yeah, but 90% of the day is going to be beautiful and sunshiny, right? Man, I need you people in my life because that's where I go. And so as I was thinking what Paul says in the passage we're going to be in today, and what he says all throughout the letter to the Philippians, I began to think, what would Paul's view be? And I thought of this next picture. Check this picture out. Now, just so you know, that picture wasn't taken in Altoona. Okay? But as I look at that picture, I think this is how I would view that picture. Oh, my word. If we were walking up that street, I would be like, are you kidding me? Is everybody going to the same place I'm going today? Really? Then I would be like, oh, man, I hope nobody comes and, like, steals my wallet. I hope nobody mugs me. And I thought to myself, if Paul was in that scenario, this is how I imagine Paul would be. Look at all the opportunities I have to bump into somebody and tell them about Jesus. Jesus, I just can't believe you got all these people in one place so that I could tell them about you. You see the van or the bus on the left side there? I could see Paul going, you know, if I got up on that bus, I could go, hey, everybody, stop just a second. Jesus has you here, right here in this moment, so that I could tell you about him. Can't you? How do I know that? Well, we've looked at it. Look at Philippians 1:12. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, he's in prison. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And we've looked at it. There were a couple times when people tried to kill Paul. There was one time they actually hit him with stones. They stoned him, and they thought he was dead. They dragged his body out of the city. He wasn't. He kind of went back in the city and kept preaching the gospel. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten in Philippi. Just all these different things. And so now finally he's in prison. He's been handcuffed. He's all these things. And he writes these people and he's like, you know what? All these things that have happened to me, this is how I see them. They're opportunities. They're opportunities. They have been opportunities for me to do what Jesus told me I would do. Be his witness. Be my witness, Paul. You are my chosen instrument to be my witness. Right? And I just, man, I'm praying, God, may I not be a half-empty glass person. May I be a person who sees life as full, just chock full of opportunities. Peter, he was in the temple, and he healed a lame man, and the people started to gather around because the guy's like doing a jig because like, yeah, Jesus healed me. And it says he looked around, and taking advantage of the opportunity, he said, let me tell you about the name that healed this man. Right? Oh, man. He goes on. Look at this. He writes a letter to Titus. What was the most important thing to Paul? What was the priority? And I think in this one verse, he gives his philosophy of ministry. Check it out. See if you agree. He writes, this letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I've been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen. Right? He's like, Titus, I'm sending you to Crete. I want you to help this church. I want you to appoint elders. I want you to teach the old men this. I want you to teach the older women this. I want them to teach the younger women. Right? He sent him into a tough place, tough situation. And he's like, you might want to think about doing things the way I've done them. First thing I do, wherever I go, is I proclaim faith. What faith? Faith in Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ did on the cross, he, Son of God, became man, dwelt among us. He lived a perfect life. He preached repentance, right? Trust in him. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, defeating sin, death, and the devil. And you put your faith in what Jesus did. That was the first thing. And then he says next, he said, and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. And what's that? The gospel. And if you have been coming to High Point Church for 1 or 2 weeks, you know that the gospel is why we're here. The gospel, the truth of what Jesus did saves us, and that truth also helps us live. And that's what Paul did. If we go on, look at this. We look at it first every month. We see this. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I passed on to you what was most important. What was most important to Paul? This. It had been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. He goes on. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And then he says, last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. And he says, wow, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. The most important thing, Paul's outlook's like everything is an opportunity. So last week, Greg, the verses before this, Greg pointed out how Paul rejoiced as people were preaching the gospel. And he talked about their motives. Some people had false or bad motives, right? Some people had good or pure motives. And the challenge was, what are our motives? Now I think as Paul continues to write, we begin to see even more a glimpse of Paul's heart and what motivated him, right? So this morning's title for the sermon is Paul's Motivation. So the question we're going to try and ask this morning is, and I think we will, is what motivated Paul? You ready? Let's jump. Here we go. Philippians 1, 19 through 26. This is what he says. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. What's this? He's in prison. Okay? I know you're praying. I know the Spirit is doing things, and it will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. He has this dilemma. He's like, I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Some translations say, that's better for me, right? He goes on, he says, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. It's better for you. So he says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So, what motivated Paul? I think there are a couple things. Let's check them out. Here's the first one. What motivated Paul? The prayers of the believers in Philippi. The prayers of the believers in Philippi. So, we see it in verse 19. For I know that through your prayers, this will turn out for my deliverance. You see that? Through your prayers, this will turn out for my deliverance. These partners with Paul, he calls them, you're my partners in the gospel. I know that you guys are praying for me. And knowing that these believers were praying for him helped energize him. It gave him encouragement. It helped fill him with motivation, right? And we see Paul writing to other believers, telling them to pray for him. In Colossians 4, 2 through 5, it says this, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. He says, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. So he's writing this book of Colossians while he was in prison as well. He's like, pray that we have many opportunities in prison. Okay. That is not a half-empty glass attitude, is it? He goes on, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Wow. I got guys, people next to me in the cell. I got guards. I have the warden. Pray that I would know just the right way, just the right thing to say. Help me be in tune. Help me be listening to people's stories. Help me be able to show them how Jesus can come into your story, into your life, and transform everything, right? And then he goes on, and we see it right here on this slide. He says, you, as you read, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. So he's like, pray for opportunities and then make the most of opportunities, right? That's how Paul lived. That's how he thought. Look at what he says in 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message, this is cool, will spread rapidly. Have you ever prayed that? Man, I pray that the gospel would just go whoosh and just spread rapidly like fire and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Pray too that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. Paul knew that these people were praying for him. You know what? I know that people pray for Greg every Sunday, and people pray for me when I preach. People pray for our pastor. You know, I got a text this morning from Mike Harding. Mike Harding, he's going to hear this. He's not here. Shout out to Mike Harding. He prays. He prays for us when we preach. Debbie, my wife, she prays for me when I preach. Kim Bailey, he's shooting me a text last night. He's sitting around the fire. Hey, man, how's everything going? Is it going? You ready? I'm praying for you. I'll tell you, when you know people are praying for you, it's very motivating in a good way. It's just like, wow, we're in this together. We're partners. We're on the same team. Remember last week was Team Jesus, right? Okay, that's the first thing. Here's the next one. What motivated Paul? The Holy Spirit's help. Do you see it? Look at it. Philippians 1:19. The help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. He's like, man, the Holy Spirit is Paul's comfort, is Paul's strength. The Holy Spirit helps him be bold. The Holy Spirit helps him know exactly what to say. The Holy Spirit brought back to Paul's mind the scriptures that he learned since he was a little boy, 8, 9, 10 years old. The Holy Spirit. And so what did Jesus say? Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus is like, I'm going to go back to heaven. I want you to wait. Go back to Jerusalem. I want you to wait. And in a certain amount of time, the Holy Spirit will come. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will know. You will have power from above. And then you will be my witnesses. And so the Holy Spirit was motivating Paul, right? Man, he wasn't going out and trying to do things in his own strength. He wasn't going out trying to, okay, hey, let's get some more notches on my belt. No, he was waiting. What does that look like? Well, when we read Acts, what was their waiting? They prayed. They got together and they prayed and they prayed. They were prayed up, yielding to the Spirit. Am I obeying what he wants me to do? Am I listening to his voice? right? And God's word says, when someone receives Christ as their Savior, they are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer today, you have him. But being filled has the idea of being surrendered and yielded to and submitting, right? And Paul did that, and the Holy Spirit was his help. And you read the book of Acts. Read it. I encourage you. I'm only 5 chapters in. And what happens? They pray. The Holy Spirit comes and gives them boldness. And they go out, and Peter goes out, and he preaches one time. And 3,000 men get saved. That's not counting men and women, or women and kids. And then he and John go to the temple, and they heal a guy who had been lame for 40 years. And the guy starts jumping around and praising God, and a crowd comes. And I already alluded to it. Peter looks, and he sees a crowd coming, takes advantage of it. He preaches, and you know what? It says that after he preached, there was 5,000 men. So, wow. 3,000 get saved, 2,000 get saved. And then Ananias and Sapphira come on the scene, and they have bad motives when they give. And what happens? Well, the church was gripped with fear because of what God did to them. But you know what Luke wrote? He said crowds kept believing in Jesus. Crowds kept believing. Wow, that's the Holy Spirit helping. What a motivation, right? Well, let's look at the third thing. And this, to me, is the most significant one. All of them are here, but what motivated Paul? The prayers of the believers in Philippi, the Holy Spirit's help, and then Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians 1:20. As it is my eager expectation and hope, that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And he goes on, Philippians 1:21, he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Isn't that awesome? There was a day when Paul was on his way to Damascus, and he got confronted face to face with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's like, and everything that he had heard about Jesus, that the apostles were saying, everything that he heard Stephen testify about before he got stoned, he's looking at Jesus and he's like, oh my. And then, what Moses said about the Messiah, what the prophets said about the Messiah, all clicked, right? Just standing before his Savior. And that, the resurrected Savior, just motivated Paul, didn't he? Wow, we see it. Look at Romans 1:16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're going to see a little bit later in a couple chapters. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, Philippians 3:8. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Wow. I mean, that's a big deal. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul lived his whole life trying to be the best little Israelite boy, teenager, man he could be. He wanted to be the best citizen of Israel. So much so that he started to persecute people that he thought were heretics. And then Jesus comes, and he sees the resurrected Jesus face to face, and he's like, everything else I dedicated my whole life to is like, eh, meh. Jesus talked about his kingdom being like a treasure and a pearl of great price. And you know what? Paul, he's like, man, I cannot get over what Jesus has done. What a motivating thing to think about the love of Christ and what he did for me and for you. How he demonstrated his love once and for all. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That, I'm telling you, shook Paul to his feet. And his feet responded by going. He was Jesus' witness. Right? Here's the next thing. What motivated Paul? The prayers of the believers in Philippi, the Holy Spirit's help, Jesus Christ. And then this one is cool as well. Jesus Christ's promise of resurrection. You see it here? Jesus' promise of resurrection. He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's interesting. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Paul's desire, once he saw Jesus face to face, I mean, he wanted to obey Jesus, don't get me wrong. But boy, I tell you what, he couldn't wait to see him again. Right? And the fact that because Jesus rose, he would rise, just motivated Paul. John 3:16, you know it, it's very familiar verse. Jesus said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. In 2 Corinthians, he would say to the believers there, he said in verse 8, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You've probably heard it said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, he says this. Have you ever heard anybody say this? But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. He's talking about a drink offering. You know, Paul viewed life as this. Hey, you know what? What's the worst thing that could happen? Go see Jesus? Really? Okay. Sounds like a pretty good deal. In James wrote this, James 4:14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So my youth pastor growing up would do this. James said, your life is like a mist. It's here today and gone. Maybe your life is like this. Maybe it's like this. Isn't that sobering? And Paul looked at his life, and he's like, I'm going to go for Jesus like you would not believe. And I am going to be his witness. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but today I'm looking for every opportunity that he gives me. Why? If something happens, I will be with Jesus. Isn't that good? That is so good. We do not have to be afraid. We don't. And here's the last thing that I see. What motivated Paul? Helping believers grow and experience joy. Helping believers grow and experience joy. Look at what he says. Verses 23 through 25. I am hard pressed between the two things. Let's see, go be with Jesus or stay. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. Why? For your progress and joy in the faith. Paul will later say, he thanks them for sending Epaphroditus because he was down. And Epaphroditus went to encourage Paul. And Paul Epaphroditus gets sick and almost dies. And Paul says, man, I'm glad he didn't, praise the Lord, because that would have just been one sorrow that would have just really broken my heart, because he really loved Epaphroditus. But even in all of that, so don't think that Paul, like something bad happened and he just kind of like, you know, he had a heavy heart, but he trusted Christ. His motivation was Christ. I'm not saying we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or we're going to walk through difficult times and be like, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what the joy of the Lord is. Now, sometimes it's that way. But the joy of the Lord is something that strengthens you and brings you strength from your feet to your heart to your head, and you can be joyful and you can be resting, and that's your motivation, right? And Paul's like, I want to get through this for you. You, my partners, you're my partners. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want you to progress. I want you to be able to, as you live life and as you experience these things, you can have the same joy that I have. Right? This isn't what Paul thought. Oh, you handcuffed me. Well, I guess I can't tell anybody about Jesus now. Oh, shucks. Oh, you got me. You threw me in prison. No, he's like, okay, so what can I do? How can I help these people progress? How can I help these people not lose ground? Well, I'm going to write a letter. Starts writing letters. Starts talking to the guard. He's like, I'm okay, right? That's what he does. And that motivated him so much to know that his brothers and sisters who were praying for him, who loved him, who were partnering in the gospel with him, he could help them grow. He could help them understand. He'll later say, I've learned that in any situation, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content no matter what. I want you to have that. I want you to have that. Do you want that? I want that. So as I look at and I think about this scripture and I think about what Greg has said to this point and I think about what Luke recorded about the book of Acts, this is some things that I think we should apply. How could we apply this? Excuse me. Well, here's the first one. And like you're going to go like, really, Darren, that's not very like smart or like deep. That's exactly your point. Well, yeah, that's we should pray for each other. Are you praying for each other? Am I praying for you? It was really cool. I told you about when Peter and John healed the lame man. And the religious leaders got really ticked at him. And so they kind of took Peter and John to the principal's office. And they got together the council. They got together the Pharisees. They got the high priest. And they all came in. And they brought Peter and John in. And they're like, how did you do this? By what power? And they're like, in the name of Jesus, we did this. His authority, Jesus of Nazareth, he is the Messiah. And then Peter kind of gives them this really sweet, like, synopsis of the prophets. And what could they do? I mean, the guy's, like, standing right there. He'd been lame for 40 years. He'd been begging at the temple for 40 years. Some of those guys all their life. And here he is standing. And you know what they say? They say, well, we really don't want you to do that anymore.
And Peter goes, okay. Well, Jesus told us to. And we would rather obey God than you. And he says, what would you do? Would you obey God? And so they let him go. And Luke says that they went back and told the other believers, and you know what they did? They prayed. They prayed, and you know what they prayed? They prayed, God, make us even more bold. Give us great boldness. And then they prayed, this is cool. They prayed, God, stretch out your hands and miraculously heal. Do wonders and signs. Heal and rescue people. Give us great boldness. Stretch out your hands. Do you pray that for your neighbor sitting next to you? Do you pray that for your friends? Oh God, I pray that you would make Rich. I pray that you would make Ryan. I pray that you would make Lauren. Great boldness. Give them great boldness. God, I pray that as they go to work or as they do what they do, you would stretch out your hand and go before them and just create the gospel would spread rapidly. Do we pray that for each other? Or I mean, it's important to pray for people who are sick. It's important to pray that God gives us comfort and that we're able to look at our situations in our life and figure out how to pass that comfort on to other people. But do we pray that we would have an outlook on life, that everything is an opportunity? And I have to say, oh my word, I've been so convicted this week. And so I've changed how I pray for myself and for you. How different would our church be if we prayed for each other like these people prayed for Paul? Oh, my word. We could not get enough chairs, potentially. Wow. But how about this? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I go through my days and I go through my weeks sometimes trying to do it all in the strength of Darren. Well, I've been a believer for this many years and I read this long ago and I remember this. But am I soaking in God's word? Am I trying to obey it and live it out? And am I like, Holy Spirit, just give me opportunities. Holy Spirit, fill me. Help me to see people the way you see people. Help me to have the same mind that Jesus had, where I'm humble and I obey and I just lay down my life. I just pour it out like a drink offering. Holy Spirit, just help me. Help me know what to say. Help me to know the situation and be alert and in tune and aware and then just be a witness for you. I pray that for my wife. I pray that for my kids. I pray that for my friends. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the next one. Preach the gospel to yourself. Man, Paul never, we say this all the time, but I tell you what. To remember that Jesus demonstrated once and for all his love for you by dying on the cross. He is the risen Savior. He defeated sin, death, and the devil. That is so motivating. But then also, believe God's promise of resurrection. What's the worst thing that could happen? Kim and I were talking about that this week. He's like, you know, Darren, I've just got a point in my life where it's just kind of like, what's the worst that could happen? And we've kind of talked about it. You know, things aren't really rough yet here in America for believers. But I tell you what, if we're not thinking this way and living this way now, are we going to do it when it's super, super hard? I mean, I hope by God's grace, but don't you want to start? Like, I was a collegiate athlete, and I played in the game how I practiced. And if I didn't work out hard and practice, then guess what? I wasn't going to perform in the game. Hello? And so, live believing God's promise of resurrection. Now, what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying, well, go swim with sharks. But you know what? There's people in our church that have gone to places that they could have died because they rescued people. They literally rescued people. And then they preached the gospel to them. I tell you what. Back at the beginning of the year, we got really concerned because Caleb was having physical difficulties. And he's a pretty beefy guy. Kendall says he's a beefcake. Right? He's pretty thick. And, you know, he's like, something's not right with my legs. And he showed us, he kind of pulled up his pant leg. And like, his ankle usually is about like this, and it was like this. And you're like, yeah, that's not right. And so he went and he got an ultrasound, and he texted us and said, we want to have a family dinner. We gotta tell everybody something. And I'll never forget that night. And he's like, they did an ultrasound, and from my belly button down each leg, the main veins that feed blood are full of blood clots. And there's nothing they can do. And I'll tell you what, everything in my world went. And what I thought mattered didn't matter anymore. And the hope that I had, that my son put his faith in Jesus, and the worst thing that could happen to him was that he would be with Jesus, I'll tell you what, wow. A couple months later, taking a shower, drying off, and I'm like, what's that on my... Start looking, I got spots on my skin. So I did what everybody should do. I Googled it. No. I'm like, do I have skin cancer? I better go to the dermatologist. I'll tell you what. Until I got in there and saw the dermatologist, guess what my life did? Our life is like a mist. Am I living my life based on the reality and hope that my Savior is alive, and because he's alive, I will rise again? There is a resurrection for the dead. There is. We need to live that way, don't we? And then, the last one. How are you living your life to help others grow spiritually? How are you living your life? How am I living my life to help people experience the joy of Jesus? I can invest my life in so many things. Man, I was a soccer coach for years and years and years. Why? Because I love soccer. I love to teach soccer. I love to see little kids get it. I love to see little kids head the ball like a bunch of times. I love that. That's great. But am I using that to be able to also point them to Jesus? I mean, there are things that we can love and do, but are we using those things to point, are we seeing them as opportunities? I make investments in my life. I get good at something. You get good at your job. Get good at your job, of course, but get good at your job so that you can point people to Jesus. It's an opportunity. Your job is an opportunity to point people to Jesus. It's not just an opportunity for you to increase your portfolio. It's not just your opportunity to get more money to make investments. If you see it that way, oh man, it could be so much more, right? I hope I'm not embarrassing you, Kim, but Kim was in the military. He can shoot guns. And so Nan asked him if he would be a character coach at Grandview University here in town with the shooting team. So guess what he did? His first time he went in the last week or so. Guy's kind of off by himself. kind of quiet. Hey, man, what's your deal? I'm kind of older than everybody else. Kind of don't fit in. Oh, yeah? So Kim's a smart cookie. He's thinking, military? You in the military? Yeah. Me too. Me too. All of a sudden, a bridge. And guess what? Kim's going to use that bridge to point him to Jesus. All that to say, our life is full of opportunities. Amen. Praise God. If you are here today and he has saved you, he's opened your eyes, and you have put your faith in Jesus, man, may we be motivated like Paul. If you're here this morning and you haven't done that, I want to let you know, Jesus' desire is for you to be saved, to be rescued from your sin. Will you turn to him and let him guide and direct your life in a way that will be unbelievable? That's my hope. That's Paul's hope. And we're going to keep going and see this amazing letter unfold where Paul just keeps going and encouraging these partners in the gospel from Philippi. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. You just amaze me. Forgive me. Forgive us. We choose sin. We fail, we fall short, but your loving kindness continues to be there for us, lifting us up. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be motivated like Paul. Help us to follow his example. Help us to follow the example of Jesus. We're going to see that very quickly, where Paul says, have the same attitude, have the same mind that Jesus had. God, we look forward. I pray that you would give us great boldness, that you would stretch out your hand and miraculously heal people. Free them from their sin. Free them from their addiction. Transform their lives. Transform my life. And we will give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.